Are you from Toronto? Really big, wow.
Wow. Just a little
bit.
Big.
I'm from Dublin. The name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will sing into the Holy Spirit. Open our hearts. Although you open because you have been too much, I guess. But still, you know, when we pray, it's always good to invoke the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. So my dear, we are gathered to pray together. I want to explain to you a few messages. I will give you, we'll ask you kindly to close your mobile phones and all the electronic things. Okay, for support, concentrate on prayer and listening to the message. Okay? Are you okay, Father? Work? Okay, very good. Our Lady has recommended that everywhere she goes, she recommends that we pray the rosary every day. And maybe you do it already, maybe you don't do it. And she knows why she recommends that, because herself, she said that here. When I was on earth, I was constantly praying the rosary. Constantly, she said. So this is very weird because there was no rosary in those days. But she explained, and she said, when I was on earth, I had the eyes of my heart constantly focused on my son Jesus. And she said, and this is the prayer of the rosary. To have the eyes of the heart focused on Jesus. This is the rosary. So, He wants us to do the same. It's a contemplation of Jesus in his life. This is the rosary. The contemplation of Jesus during his life on earth. Plus crowning his mother, of course, in heaven. And this contemplation is a very precious and fruitful prayer. Very efficient. Why? Because as the fathers of the church are teaching us, we become what we contemplate. I repeat that, it's very important. We become what we contemplate. So if I contemplate TV, how shall I become? Empty, square, and stupid. But if I contemplate Jesus in his glory, in his light, in his love, in his beauty will come to me, his glory will come to me, his heart will come to me, because we become what we contemplate. So we have to choose what we want to contemplate in our life. You know, there are several fruits of the rosary. For example, thanks to the rosary, explain Our Lady, we can grow in holiness. So, are you interested to grow in holiness? Yes? Do you know that holiness is the only future we can have? All the rest will disappear. You know, our health, our youth, our work, our family, our life, we all will lose everything. Our car, our career, everything, beautiful things that we have on earth. They will all disappear. And what will remain? What will remain when we cross the border with the other life? What will remain? The degree of love, of divine love we have in our hearts. The union of heart we have with God. That will remain, charity. The rest will be finished. This is why it's very important to concentrate on our eternal life and prepare for eternal life rather than to create a lot of things on earth and feel empty inside. So the rosary helps us with this contemplation to welcome all the treasures of Jesus into our hearts. Beautiful prayer. So we grow in holiness because we will contemplate the one who is the holy of the holies, Jesus. So when I contemplate Jesus in his holiness comes to me. His tenderness comes to me. His forgiveness comes to me. All his treasures come to me. Now there is another beautiful fruit of the rosary, that with the rosary we can defeat Satan. Are you interested in that? Yes? How can I defeat Satan with the rosary? Well, if I have been loaded with the treasures of Jesus, thanks to that contemplation, when Satan comes to me in order to destroy me, he will see Jesus within me. Because even the impure spirit know very well where is Jesus and where is not, because they are angels, you know. So seeing Jesus within me, he'll be terrified. Because Jesus has defeated him at the cross. So he cannot stand the presence of Jesus. It's burning for him. It's like terribly painful. Cannot even stand the flagrance of Jesus, of his holiness. So he'll be disarmed. He'll be powerless. And being powerless, he won't be able to harm. So that power can be taken with Jesus inside. Not because I'm strong, forget it, and I will never be strong against Satan. But Jesus within me is strong. You see the difference? So have Jesus inside through the rosary, and you'll defeat Satan. As you said several times, look dear children, with a simple rosary, we can allow God to make miracles in your life and in the world. And so it's a very powerful weapon against the enemy. So pray the rosary in family. Pray the rosary alone. Pray the rosary every day. But the best is to pray together in the family. So you can organize your time to fit the rosary in your life. I want to share with you one of the examples. I was in April this year, I was in Holy Land, and I visited a Carmelite convent in Haifa on the Mount Carmel, near the Mount Carmel. One of the sisters there was very interested in Medjugorje, and she said, "You know, sister, I can share with you a beautiful testimony." So the testimony was like this. She knew a Carmelite convent in Quito, Ecuador, in South America, who was dying, because there were only 5-6 old sisters there, you know, the youngest were 80, old, and they were ready to close the Carmelite convent because there was no vocation for many years, no vocation. So it was very sad. But one day, when the other sisters came from another community, telling the superior of this Carmel, saying, "I'm going to Medjugorje." And the mother superior said, "Oh, you're going to Medjugorje. Fine. Great. Please. Tell one of the visionaries to ask all of you for vocation for our country." And she said, "Okay." So she went to Medjugorje, could never find a visionary available, it was in 84, but she could be present at the public apparition of Our Lady for the villagers and for the whoever was there. Hi, Father. Are you following?
The last race.
Yeah. She was present in an apparition.
Okay.
And guess what? How was the message given? How did that they said? I will myself take care of all the communities who will pray the rosary every day together. And I will myself choose their vocation. Wow, that was the answer. So she went back to Quito, and she shared, of course, with the Mother Superior of this monastery about the message given by Our Lady. Immediately, the Mother Superior decided that they would do what Adi said. Pray the rosary every day, the entire rosary every day, three parts, and together, even while working, in the chapel, every day, the complete rosary. They did so. Sure enough, after a few months, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, even more, candidates came to become a sister. They reopened the novitiate, and the newcomers multiplied so much that they reached the number of 21. But you know, in the Carmelite convent, you cannot exceed 21. So they had to make a foundation. They founded the Carmel in another city of Santo Domingo, also in Ecuador. And this sister in Santo Domingo, they kept the tradition of a daily complete rosary prayed together. And guess what? They quickly reached the number of 21. So they had to make a third foundation in Panama, etc. So you see the power of the rosary when we pray this rosary with the heart every day together. So what is applied for a monastery can be applied to another community, could be applied to a family, to a parish. You know, let's take this example as a very powerful example for the power of the rosary. So there are two ways to pray the rosary, the wrong way and the good way. I start with the bad way. Suppose that I have a very heavy burden on my heart because my husband is dying of cancer. He's in the hospital, he's going to die, and I have three children, I have a job, and my situation becomes very, very difficult. And I suffer, I love my husband, he's going to leave, so it's a terrible situation. So I decided, let's pray rosary for my husband. So far, so good. Okay? I start my Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Ave Maria, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, and sure enough, while I'm praying my Hail Mary, I think of my husband. How much he suffers? What shall I do when I'm a widow? What shall I do with my three children and my work? And how about the funeral? How much does it cost? All these problems. So after my rosary, with all these torments in my mind, I'm more tired than before my rosary. That's not good food. So what is the good way? I remember that I have a mother, a heavenly mother. And you know, one day she said, dear children, give me your problems. Give me your worries. And then your heart will be free for prayer. And then pray for my intentions. So I remember that I have this beautiful heavenly mother. So I will give her my problem. I will answer to her my concerns, my suffering, my situation. And I tell Mother, I abandon to your Immaculate Heart all my burden. Now it is in your heart now. It's your problem, not mine anymore. Please see to it. And I trust that she will see to it so well that it will be much better than I if that I see to it. So see to it is all in your heart, Mother. It's not anymore in my heart. So thank you. Now I can pray from my heart and contemplate Jesus in my rosary because my burden is on her side now. You follow me? You see the difference? So suppose that I pray the mystery of the birth of Jesus. One thing is important is when we pray one of the mysteries, we go to the place where this mystery has happened. It's very important. You travel to the place where this mystery has happened. So where can I go for the birth of Jesus? Sure, I go to Bethlehem. And when I arrive in Bethlehem, I go to the stable where Jesus was born. I enter the stable and I look. My dear, you know, rosary is a matter of looking. Contemplation is looking from the heart. So I look with all my heart and I see this little newborn baby. She's a little cold, no? She's Mother Mary, I see Joseph, I see the shepherds, the sheep. And I'm looking, focusing on this little baby. I adore him. And you know what happened then? I contemplate Jesus. All his innocence comes to me. All his peace comes to me. All his joy comes to me, the joy to come and save the world. All his heart comes to me. All his littleness, his humility comes to me. You see? So when I leave from the stable, I'm enriched. I downloaded a lot of beautiful graces from Jesus. Suppose I pray the mystery of transfiguration. I go to the mountain of Tabor. And there I look. What do I see? I see Jesus transfigured. Full of light. I see Elisha. I see Moses. The three disciples. And I'm fascinated by this, that it's light. You know, here the visionary said, it is a light that does not exist on earth. It's a beautiful light, a light of heaven. So I look at that light with the eyes of my heart, and because I contemplate Jesus in his light comes to me. I fill up my heart with his own light. I fill up my heart with his own glory, because we become what we contemplate. You see the difference? So when I go to the hospital and visit my husband, instead of having the stress, you know, stress, how are you doing? How's the doctor come? What did he say? Where are your medicines? Should I open the window? And all, you know, stress. No, I enter the room, calmly, and he speaks. He says, my wife, what have you done? Where have you been? You're full of light. You're full of peace. What have you done? And you can tell I prayed the rosary with a heart. You see the difference? See how your rosary can be so powerful. Not only for yourself, but for all the people around. And even in countries you've never visited. Got the point? Good. So now we will start one of the mysteries. I want to take the third luminous mystery, where we see Jesus walking in the street of Holy Land, in the little path of Holy Land, and he is preaching in the synagogue about the kingdom of God. He's preaching about repentance, conversion. And I already said my most important message is actually the method of conversion. But conversion in Hebrew, according to the Bible, means to return. If I am converted, it means I return. Like the prodigal son, he got lost far from the house of his father. He ended up keeping the pigs, the swine. That was not nice. He was really starving. So he decided to go back, to return to the house of his father. And then he said the same thing, you are lost, dear children. You're starving. You're lost. You're frustrated. You're not happy. There's no peace in you. Come back. Return to the path of Jesus. That's conversion. He said, I invite you to change radically the direction of your life. Radically, he said, because you have been lost. You took the wrong way. Return. Don't forget, dear children, that the goal of your life is heaven. Beautiful goal, no? There are so many in China, so many people who have never heard of Jesus. They don't know there is a heaven. How can they stand life on earth when it's difficult? You see? There is a heaven, and that's the goal of our life. So we are on the path to heaven. That's why we should not quit that path. Too dangerous. There are many paths that are offered to us today. Wrong paths that do not lead to heaven. So change the direction of your life. Put your radar on the right direction. Then your boat will go there. Or your plane, whatever. Satan is deviating you from this path. He's using modernism, egoism, and materialism. Which means, like modernism, it means it's a fake thought, it's a wrong thought. Now when we think that there is only the earth, we do everything, even good things for the earth, but we forget that we have a soul, and that we have eternal life. So we live for the earth. Family, work, career, health, food, vacation, studies, whatever. Good! All these things are good. We have to eat, we have to have a house, we have to have a job, we have to have a family. But these are means, not the goal. And the perversion came when we focus so much on the means that they became the goal. The goal is to eat well. The goal is to feel good. Forget it, feel good. You can go at the door of heaven. If you, oh Lord, I thank you because I felt so good in my life. What? I'm expecting you holiness, not feel good. Not that you feel good, but not the goal. It can be a snare also. You're attached to feeling good. Do you follow me? You see how we've been lost? Because the most important thing, you want to feel good for eternity. That's what's important. Feel good for eternity with God, definitely so. But that's heaven is the goal. The union with God is the goal. To be a saint is the goal. So Our Lady said the first act of your conversion, of your return, says Our Lady, may this be a good confession. So Father Peter, be prepared to have clients today. Good confession. And to explain very well what is confession and how important it is. One day, the first day, she appeared here in a field, and there was a visionary before her, in front of her. And behind the visionary, there was the local people, the villagers, you know. And that day, Our Lady exceptionally said, dear children, today, all those present here will be able to touch me. And the visionary said, they can't touch you, mother, because I don't see you. She said, yes, take them one by one and bring them to me by hand. So Our Lady allowed that they could see the other people. And they brought 8 persons to Our Lady, and they could touch her head, her veil, her arm. It was very real. To touch a person. And they were very blessed. Would you like to touch Our Lady? Would you like it? I guess we have to wait a little bit. That we are in heaven. I think she likes to be touched too by her children. What is a mother who doesn't like to be touched by the children, you know? So good. So, but after a while, some stains appear on the dress of Our Lady. So the visionary cried out, mother, mother, what's happening? Your dress has become dirty. So now listen to the answer of Our Lady. These are the sins of those touching me. So they cried, don't touch Our Lady anymore. You put stains on her robe. So they went back. They backed up and they were very, very ashamed. So that day Our Lady said a very important message. Dear children, I invite you to purify your hearts from sin. Because with sin, no one can be happy. With sin, no one can have peace. This is why, dear children, I invite you to a monthly confession, which means at least once a month. At least. Because she said there is no one on earth who would not need a monthly confession. Monthly confession will be a remedy for the church in the West. But teacher, we made very Western, it's for you too. You have picked up our viruses of the Western countries, no? Didn't you? In Hong Kong? A remedy for the church. Of course, if she invites us to have a monthly confession, she is mentioning a confession from the heart, a sincere confession, not a routine thing that we don't even think about. You make the list of your sins, you go, you receive her absolution, and you continue your life as before. No way. She said, change your life after the confession. I'll give you an example of a sincere confession. Suppose I love someone very much, but one day I'm tired, I have a headache, whatever, and I see that a very bad word against that person gets out of my mouth. A very bad word, a very nasty word against that person. What did I say? Oh my gosh, I wish I had not said that. What did I do for that person that I love so much? I have a sorrow in my heart. I feel so bad. I have a big sorrow in my heart because I hurt a person that I love. And because of that sorrow, I will do everything I can to ask forgiveness, to prove my love all the more to that person, and of course to repair the damage that I've done. This sorrow has a name. How is it called? Contrition. How do you say that in Chinese, Father? Say it again. I've never been able to say that. Okay, I'll stick with contrition. I'll stick first with contrition. When your heart aches because you hurt somebody, you see, you have already experienced that thing, I guess. We all did. So, thanks to this confession, I will be able to make a very good confession. And this confession is due to the fact that I love that person. If I don't love that person, I won't have that pain, that aching in my heart. So who has suffered the most for my sins, for my nastiness, for my hardened heart? Who has suffered the most? If not Jesus. Jesus was crucified for my sins. He had to suffer agony, torture of all kinds. So if I love Jesus, I will feel so sorry for my sins. I will have that contrition of my sins. If I don't love Jesus, it won't work. I'll be indifferent. Can sin and sin and sin again as indifferent, like many pagans do? Because I don't know Jesus, I don't love him. But if I love Jesus, oh, I'll be careful not to sin, not to hurt his feelings, not to wound, not to hurt him anymore. So Our Lady, she sees that we love Our Lady. She sees that we definitely love Our Lady, but not as much as we could. And she dreams that we may love Jesus as much as she loves you, she said so. I give you my heart, dear children, so that you may love Jesus as much as I love him. See how big is our heart? That she tells us we are capable to love Jesus as much as she does. It's great, great news. My heart is so great that I can do that. So, if I love Jesus, I'll be so sorry for my sin. And I already give us a name that is also given by Jesus himself in so many saints, a name to grow in love for Jesus. And he says, go before the cross, dear sinner. And before the cross, adore my son. Adore him at length. Adore him with all your heart. And if you do so, slowly, slowly, King Jesus on the cross, we will notice his wounds, his sores. We'll notice his crown of thorns. We'll notice his face covered with mud, spit, blood. We'll notice his heart that is pierced with a sword. And we'll see that, you know. Slowly, slowly, we'll have compassion for Jesus in our hearts. We'll be sorry that my sin made him in that state of deep suffering. And we say, basta, I stop here, I won't sin anymore. I've sinned enough, and he has suffered enough. I don't want to sin anymore. I quit sin. I do my best not to sin anymore. Not that I become Immaculate Conception in one day. Too late. Only Our Lady is Immaculate Conception. But still, I can decide to avoid the circumstances, the opportunities to sin. If I know that if I have tea with that person, of coffee or Chinese tea or whatever, with that person, and for sure we will speak bad about our neighbors, we will slander. I don't see that person anymore. I don't want to slander anymore. It's horrible. If I know that if I go to that house with that person in it, I'll commit adultery. I know. So I don't go there anymore. You see, I avoid the occasions of sin. Not to offend Jesus anymore. So I can do a beautiful, sincere confession from the heart. Because I do it out of love for Jesus. Not because it is my routine, but out of love for Jesus. I have contemplated Jesus in his pain, in his sorrow, in his crucifixion. I don't want to add to it. And out of love and respect for him, I do a good confession from the heart. And if it's possible also, you know, I will read the Bible, and especially the Ten Commandments of God. Do you know by heart the Ten Commandments of God? Yes, you do? Who does not? Okay, your Chinese will never raise your hand. So, those who do not know that by heart, Ten Commandments of God, I invite you to take a little card, a little, you know, we have many things like this, Father, maybe you can provide. I have it in Italian and French, but I don't have it yet in English, unfortunately. Revised in the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5 or 6, you have the Ten Commandments of God. Read them again, and then you can verify and check if you are okay with all the commandments. But if you don't go to Mass every Sunday, just repent and go to Mass every Sunday. Otherwise, you cannot take Holy Communion. You know, when you are not in a state of grace, you cannot take Holy Communion. If you live adultery, you can't take Holy Communion. So you check if you're okay, and then you repent, decide to stop that sin, and then do a good confession. Now, is to do a good confession out of love for Jesus with a sincere desire to amend yourself, to quit sin. God is so happy that not only will He forgive your sins, but He will forget your sins. They will be destroyed. There will be no more. They disappear. And you won't have to be in purgatory for them because they are not there anymore. You see? So it reduces or even removes the time of purgatory. A sincere confession with contrition of your sins. Beautiful. So now we will, in spirit, we'll stand before the cross, as I already said, and we will contemplate Jesus on the cross. We will ask a great gift from the Holy Spirit, which is called the gift of tears. The gift of tears is the gift of repentance, the gift of contrition. When we ache because we have offended Jesus, out of love for Him. So we ask the Holy Spirit this gift. You cannot make it yourself. It has to be a grace from the Holy Spirit. We all ask for this grace. And you'll see that yourself. You will transform your way to go to confession. You will be careful when you go to confession to pray beforehand and to look at Jesus on the cross. So we are there now. We pray the Blessed of the Rosary. Do you know this prayer in English? Yes? So Father, should we pray in English or maybe in better in Chinese? Okay. So the English speaking, you start the prayer, and the Chinese speaking, you answer the prayer, okay?
Okay.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Well, without end, amen. Holy Mother and Queen of Peace, pray for us. So, my dear, now I want to take you to another mystery. It is beautiful. And it's, we go to Jerusalem, and we will enter the synagogue. and we will be there for the last supper of Jesus. We enter the room, the upper room, and will participate in the last supper of Jesus. And you know, when Jesus instituted the Holy Eucharist, he saw me taking Holy Communion. But Jesus is not limited like we are. So he saw each person taking his body and blood for the whole generation to come. So this mystery is mine. I can sit at that table. It's my life. I'm not a foreigner or a stranger. And it's beautiful to think that I'm part of the team of Jesus. Because he saw me, and when he gave his body and blood, he saw each host and who was going to eat that host and drink that blood. What priest would give that thing? And of course, he was very happy to see all those who are taking Holy Communion in a very worthy way, and very, very hurt when he saw the rest to say the least. So, I already said the greatest privilege given to man on earth, he said, is Holy Mass. There is nothing greater than that. There is nothing higher than that. Holy Mass. So Jesus comes alive in your midst, dear children. Dear children, put Holy Mass at the center of your life. Live Mass. May Holy Mass be life for you. If you knew, dear children, the graces and the gifts you receive during Mass, you would go every day. But when you are at Mass, you are unaware, unconscious, unaware. Live Mass. So if already asked us to put Holy Mass at the center, it means to put Jesus alive at the center of our life. But if we are honest, we ask ourselves, who is at the center of my life today? Is it my husband? My wife? Maybe my work? My career? My goods? My wealth? My job? My health? My food? My car? Whatever. If Jesus is not at the center, we have to, again, to return and put Jesus at the center. One day I said to a little group of friends, I said, you know, if among us there is a woman who would have put her whole husband at the center of her life, this husband has to be moved out from there and leave Jesus instead. And one lady said, sister, how can you criticize the sacrament of marriage? I said, I'm not criticizing the sacrament of marriage. On the contrary, I want to protect it. Because, my dear, if you put a human being at the center of your life, you will expect from that person to provide for your happiness, to be the source, the spring of happiness for you. But who is a human being? No human being is ever a spring of happiness and joy and love and life. God is. Only God is the source of life and happiness and peace. So don't be mistaken. Why don't you instead put Jesus together? Together you put Jesus at the center, and then together you draw from Him that happiness that you need, that peace that you need, that light and that love that you need from the source. What is God? This is God. You know, I knew a man, and he was very much in love with his fiancée when he got married. He got married, and after 3 years, he said to us, you know, Sister Emmanuel, if love makes you blind, I can tell you that marriage restores your sight. Are you okay with that? Well, God is the source. This is the spring. God is the fountain of grace. Not a human being. This, how we can be very disappointed and it might end up to get divorced or whatever. Because we put God together. In the midst of your family, we put God in the center. Which means that when you are in your place, wherever you live, you spot where the church nearby. And then you check when is the mass being said. And you do everything you can to attend mass as every day if you can. Our dream is that we can have mass every day. You cannot have it every day, and you pray that He arranges your circumstances that you may be able to have Jesus every day. So one day I asked Lisa, what did Ali say about Holy Communion? And I want to share with you the beautiful answer she gave me. Dear children, she said, Our Lady said, when you have received my Son Jesus in your heart during Holy Communion, then you go back to your seat. Do not judge the priest. Do not look at others. The children kneel down for at least 10 minutes and then speak to my Son Jesus who is in your heart. Speak to Him. So I want to do like we call the advocate of the devil, you know, the nasty one. And I said to Vista, are you really sure that Ali mentioned 10 minutes? And she said, no, she didn't say 10 minutes, she said at least 10 minutes. And she said minimum 10 minutes. Because the observant said already, this is the most sacred time of your life. When Jesus comes alive in your heart, welcome Him, take Him in. Take time for Jesus. You know, my dear, when Jesus comes in Holy Communion, He's very happy. Like all the lovers who want to go to the place where is their lover, you know, their beloved one. So He not only comes to give all of Himself to that person, but He also comes loaded with many gifts, blessings, treasures, graces of all kinds, so He sees our needs. And He can't wait to be there with us, unite with us. But what happens when He finds a heart closed? A wall. What happens? You know, He cannot force the door because He respects our freedom. Let's say that person took photos all the time of the mass or constantly checked the mobile phone or iPhone or whatever electronics we have, and then maybe that person thought of everything else, never followed the acts of repentance, never followed the reading, nothing from the homily, nothing from the sacrifice of Jesus on the altar, nothing, completely outside. And then at the moment of Holy Communion, the people on the benches are going towards them. I follow, like by out of habit, you know. But there's nothing for Jesus in that heart. So Jesus waits, he's behind the door, he waits. Maybe the door will open, no. At the end, nothing for him. So he withdraws. He withdraws and then leave from that person, taking back with him all the gifts and blessings and treasures and gifts that he has prepared for that person. But my friend, you know what? His heart is broken with sorrow. His heart is broken today. Imagine a big, big, immense love. Despite. No, you're nothing for me. I have no other thoughts to have. I'm not interested in you. I have my mobile phone, I have my photos, I have my thoughts, I have my plans for tomorrow. You see how we treat Jesus sometimes in Holy Communion. Instead, when Jesus finds your heart open, He's so happy. You know, He said to some saints, and especially Sister Faustina. I'm sure you have read the diary of Sister Faustina, have you? You'll find that. So he said, you know, my daughter, my greatest joy is to come in the human soul to Holy Communion, especially the consecrated soul, so that I may unite with that soul and communicate my graces to that soul. He said, this is my greatest joy. He asked also an incredible thing. He said, for me, it is like entering a new heaven, another heaven. Wow. You see how much he loved it? So, when he has been able to enter because the door was open, what does he do? You know what does he do? He enriches the soul with all his treasures. He transforms that soul. He changes that soul. He heals that soul. And he transforms that soul in what? In whom? In himself. He transformed that soul in himself, which means we are divinized. Everything that is his and everything that he has becomes mine. His light becomes mine. His love becomes mine. His beautiful glory becomes mine. I drink from his heart. I drink from his person, you know. And this love, like fountain of love coming to me. It doesn't depend on when I feel. Maybe I feel nothing, but the reality is there all the same, you know. I remember a saint from France, Elizabeth of Holy Trinity. She was sometimes in a very dry desert inside. She couldn't feel anything. So she took the Holy Communion, and she said to Jesus, you know, Jesus, I don't feel anything, but I know how happy you are in coming to my heart. And that happiness of yours is enough for me. I'm happy to make you happy. You see, that's a saint. Not concerned by what you feel, but concerned about what feels Jesus. You see? You see the difference? So maybe one day you feel, one day you don't feel. It doesn't matter, because Jesus feels a lot coming to you. So make him happy. So I said he transformed us into himself. That's so divinized, listen, that each time we take Holy Communion with a sincere love and a desire to unite with Jesus, after, of course, verifying that we are in the state of grace. You can't take Jesus if you are in the state of sin. That's very important. If you are in the state of sin, don't take Jesus before you make a very sincere confession of your sin. Get rid of sin first. Otherwise, Jesus comes to your heart and is so pure. He said to Sister Faustina, I enter in some of the hearts to live again my passion. These are for those who are not in the state of grace but carrying heavy sin. This is why Adyat is inviting us to have monthly confession at least. So anyway, each time I take Holy Communion with a sincere love and a desire to please Jesus, the degree of our eternal happiness increases in heaven. The degree of our eternal glory in heaven increases. For each Holy Communion well done with love, with adoration, with simplicity. You see? That's wonderful. For those who cannot go to Mass and have Holy Communion, we have what we call the possibility to have a spiritual Holy Communion. And it's very easy. You just call Jesus into your heart. Could be when you are in driving your car, or having your shower, or going to bed, or eating your soup. Invite Jesus in your heart. And you know what? He will come immediately. Call Jesus often. And you know what? Each time you call Jesus in the spiritual Holy Communion, He gives you the same graces that He would give the sacramental Holy Communion. He's so happy to be called. So happy to be invited. And He's invited to come. Not the case for everybody else, but He comes when He's invited. He never neglects an invitation. I remember that little girl, she was 7. She had her first Holy Communion that day. So the mother asked, "Are you happy, my child, for having received Jesus in your heart today?" "Oh, yes, ma'am, I'm very happy." "But you know what? You know what happened when Jesus came to my heart? You know what I did? Immediately after Jesus had come to my heart, I took the key of my heart and I locked Him in, so that He may never leave from me. And you know, ma'am, from now on, Jesus and myself will be always together." See, this little girl, she had understood everything about Holy Communion. An act of love, a union of love, a communion of love, of heart. It's all that. And this is our food, our daily food. Put Jesus at the first place, and you'll have a secure way with Him. He's your food. Fall in love with the most blessed sacrament of the altar, says Our Lady. Fall in love, she said, with Jesus. Let Jesus be at the first place. So my friend, now we go to Jerusalem, we enter the upper room, the cenacle, and we will participate in the Last Supper, and we ask Jesus to give us spiritual Holy Communion right now, during this decade of the Rosary. We are with Jesus, we take Jesus in, and maybe we have to tell something to Him like, "Forgive me, Jesus, for all the Holy Communion I took a little lightly, without even being worthy." We'll tell a good promise. I suggest that. We tell Jesus, "From now on, we will receive Jesus with all our hearts, with an open heart. And we'll take time for Him. If we don't have these 10 minutes at church, find 10 minutes in your own room, in your car, in a public garden, who knows? But take those 10 minutes of intimacy. Now let's pray the decade. So the timing will start, and the English speaking will follow, okay? So Father, you start. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Santa Maria, Mater Dei, prega per noi peccatori, adesso e nell'ora della nostra
morte. Amen. Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Mary, Mother and Queen of Peace, Saint Joseph, all the saints and angels in heaven, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So thank you, my friend, for coming. Thank you for your prayer, for your attention. Don't forget, monthly confession. Purify your heart from sin. Don't put any more stains on the robe of Our Lady. And please put Holy Mass in Eucharist at the center of your life. Got the point? You'll be very, very blessed. Now, I will ask the Father to come and to bless us for the final blessing. We will stand up for the blessing, please. And after the blessing, I will ask you to sit down for a minute and for some information.
Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord be with you. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mary, Queen of Peace, the Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So you may sit. The good news is that for all those who have a computer, you may receive directly on your email address both messages, of the monthly messages that are needed here, the 25th and the second day. Also the little letter that I sent to all the list to keep you posted on the fact of Medjugorje. Now, those who have this email address, they can find a table there with a sheet, and you can write your name, surname, and email address very clearly. I recommend that you do it very clearly, because if you make a mistake, for example, you misspell something, it won't work. So I can also give you a little card so that you may send your email address to someone so that you may be registered on the list if you don't remember your email address. Also, we prayed two decades of the rosary. I recorded on the one CD, I recorded all the joyful mysteries, the five mysteries of joy. So this is available. Each CD costs €4 instead of 6 or 7 elsewhere, or maybe 8 in America. So we have all kinds of titles. Fortunately, we've been able to record also CDs in Chinese, whether Cantonese or Mandarin, because I went often to China, never to Hong Kong, but to main China, yes. So we did all this work. We have also books in Chinese and books in English. They are available there for very little money, because we keep the prices very low. So profit from it and take what you need and think of those who are at home, who couldn't come. So